Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Go Big Blue!
C A T S K K K.
Go Caster.
Let's go.
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
Welcome into another edition of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell. Chris, say hi.
Hi.
There you go. That's it. You're a simple man. That's all you're going to say. All right.
Yep.
We're back for another week. We'd like to say thank you to George Barrett with Simonon Realty to start out. Thanks for sponsoring the Podcats. Also, as normal, if you don't subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, what are you waiting for? We say it every week. Just go ahead and do it. It makes it easier. You know, we've had a couple games, Chris, since the last time we've been on.
Right.
A couple 30-point victories going on here. So I don't know if you want to break down the X's and O's on how you beat a team by 39, other than this is the Kentucky basketball I'm used to and I like to see. So instead of breaking down, you know, basketball is not like football. You don't have one game a week where you can break down, 15 minutes times four, let me do the math here, 60 minutes of gameplay. I mean, we've got 80 minutes of gameplay, but they were blowouts. So thankfully in our favor. But there are a few things I think each of us want to talk about on what we don't like in the team so far. The first thing I want to talk about in this last game against UT Arlington is there seems to be some lackadaisical rebounding. I mean, you've got a team that out-rebounded Michigan State, absolutely killed them on the boards despite losing the game, which never happens. And yet it seems like UT Arlington, for the longest time, we're out-rebounding the Cats. And, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, at halftime, Arlington had out-rebounded Kentucky by, I want to say, close to 10.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. I mean, this is a team that lost to Boise State, which is a team Kentucky plays. And this is not a good team. This is sometimes Kentucky plays these no-name teams, and they're actually pretty good. They make the tournament. They do something well. They could be a little bit of a struggle. This UT Arlington team was not that.
So,
rebounds. Julius Randle is a beast, but I think he was a little lackadaisical in that first half. Willie Cauley-Stein, really, I don't know. Willie is a athletic beast, but I don't feel like there's a drive to him, a kind of tenacity like to see more of.
I mean, he's still a little raw out there.
Yeah, exactly. Alex Poitras, after having a couple good starts, all of a sudden is disappearing again. So back
slipping.
To,
I was going to say he's slipping back into his form of last year.
Right, which is where, you know, you have a couple good games for him, then you don't have any idea where Alex went, and then next thing you know, he's back again, and which is kind of disappointing. I think that's why he's no longer the sixth man off the bench, whereas he had been. I really like the idea of Marcus Lee starting. He gives a good one. He gets the tips for some reason that Willie doesn't, and two, he has no problem rebounding or putting putbacks. He seems to start the game a little bit more than Poitras and Willie Cauley-Stein do. So the biggest thing that I would like to see is more aggressive rebounding effort. You saw Cal talk about that. I need more effort out of these guys and everything else. I know there was – what is the major thing that you want to work on or that has you concerned early on in November and December when it's time to work out these kinks?
Well, first of all, I'll just echo what you said, effort. I mean, it's effort across the board. We saw it in the first game against Michigan State with the transition defense. The guys were just kind of jogging back up the court as Michigan State was racing down there and getting layups. So now we're looking at effort rebounding department. But one thing that's kind of concerning me, and again, you know, we're five games into this season. It's very early, but I'm really worried about whether or not this team's going to be able to shoot three-pointers. When you look at the stats from the first five games. You've got Aaron Harrison. He's shooting about 5 of 26 from 3. James Young, he's about 12 of 38 for, you know, that's about 30%. Again, it's really early, but I just think that those two guys, the shots aren't falling for him. Young was 5 of 10 against Arlington. I mean, that's a lot of three-pointers to be taken.
Yeah, but, he's not afraid to shoot.
No, he's not, and I think it'll come to him. I mean, he's got a nice looking shot, and so does Harrison. But you know, early on, these guys are struggling from behind the arc. And besides those two, I mean, if there ever comes a game where we need to shoot some threes, I don't know where it's going to come from. And seeing what I've seen so far from those guys, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in our ability to shoot the three right now.
Yeah, Young had been in quite a funk, this last game, it appears, if you can only consider one game, that he may have shot himself out of it. Apparently, him and Calipari spent a lot of work on the shot. The Aaron Harrison has been a little hot and cold. I wonder, you know, I don't remember Brandon Knight hitting a whole lot of threes to start the year. In fact, that was something that dogged him as a supposed shooter, is that he wasn't hitting big shots. I wonder if it'll be the same for these kids, that as the year goes on, you know, Cal's throwing so much at them, maybe that messes with their shot. I'm not sure, but it is a question mark. I mean, we saw this in the Michigan State game. I think that was the major, among many reasons, turnovers, everything else we've been over. If Kentucky had been able to hit some threes when instead of just happening to go down to Julius Randle and hope that he didn't have it stripped, I think that would have been a different ball game. The fact of the matter is they shot a lot of threes that Michigan State game, didn't hit it. That's more reminiscent of the John Wall team rather than the national championship team or that Brandon Knight team. So it will be interesting to see if they can get their shots together towards the as the season progresses. Also, Julius Randle, while he is a man-child, he's got to figure out how to be stronger with that ball inside or to be able to dish it quicker. That's a little bit – I don't think he's had to deal with that. He's not horrible at it. I mean, he's almost going to get in triple-double status if he can compound on this, can get better at this. But the fact of the matter is teams are going to triple and quadruple team him down low, and if he can bounce it out and hit James Young, and James Young can hit the open three as we're discussing, this team is almost unstoppable when that happens.
Yeah, quickly, Kentucky from – 3-point range against Michigan State, 4 of 20. That's for 20%. But yeah, Julius Randle coming in was supposed to be, I mean, his passing was supposed to be one of his really strong suits. So yeah, you're right. Another thing that this team will have to work on to get that right, and you know, they talked about this a ton during that Michigan State game, is the spacing on the court. They were horrible at that against Michigan State. But yeah, if they can, and they've looked better in that aspect in these more recent games. But yeah, if they get that corrected and get that proper spacing out on the court with throwing it into Randle and then having him kick it back out, and we can get these guys to start knocking down some of these threes, you're right. I mean, this will be an unstoppable offense.
Yeah, and just to preface, in case you're just, you know, you skipped the first 8 minutes of the show, we're just nitpicking here. I mean,
these are
small things that. In games,
in
between playing, you know, North Carolina, Baylor, and Louisville, which are the big December games, you know, what you would like to improve on, what you're going to have to improve on to beat Louisville, what you may have to improve on to beat North Carolina since they lost to Belmont at UNC. That team is not going to – I don't think that UNC team is going to contend this year.
No, they've really tapered off in the last two or three years. It might be – we might be seeing, you know, old Roy and his final run here at Carolina maybe over the next couple of years.
Or he could get a second wind. I mean, I hate to use this comparison, but a lot of people said the same thing about Patino, and then he won a national championship. So you never know what
that
can happen. It is UNC, but they are down this year. Speaking of Patino, well, is there anything else, I mean, besides the obvious free throws? I have something to talk about with Patino and that team, but is there anything else just that's kind of an inch that you can't scratch in terms of this basketball team?
No, I mean, honestly, we've covered it. One thing I do want to say as I kind of look over some of the box scores of these games, especially the other night against Arlington, real quickly here, is a lot of guys getting some good minutes out there. I mean, you got a lot of guys coming off the bench playing about 15 minutes or so. I'd love to see Derek Willis get some more minutes. You know, obviously, you know, I trust Cal and he knows what he's doing. But I do like the fact that we're seeing a lot of these guys in these games here at the beginning of the season, getting some minutes, getting them some experience for down the road. And again, you know, you're right. We are totally nitpicking on these things that we're talking about. And we just have to keep in mind that these are freshmen. I mean, we've just gotten so used to every year a freshman dominated team that we kind of forgotten the fact that, you know, it wasn't that long ago that on a college basketball team, you gave freshmen a lot of slack.
Or they didn't even
play.
Especially
at the beginning. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, five games in, you know, I'm not going to be super critical at all. Just keep in mind that these guys are, you know, they're going to be so much. There's going to be so much improvement from these guys over the next, you know, 20, 25 games. That's it for me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're starting five freshmen now for the first time in Cal's career, believe it or not. So that's kind of interesting. And there will be growing pains. Moving on to a different topic, which I alluded to, Rick Pitino. And it's not really about Pitino as much as it's about Kevin Ware, the Wonder Boy, who actually, I'm going to preface all this. That was a horrific injury, and I'm glad Kevin Ware has recovered and will be back on the court, or is back on the court for Louisville. I think he played a game and got in a game, and now he's not playing anymore. So, miraculous recovery. Don't want to take away from that at all. But honestly, U of L was ready to ship him out before that injury occurred, so they kind of are using him to their advantage. But it's working out for him, I think, right now as well. But this whole thing about the speeding ticket and the missed court date and everything else, listen, everyone speeds. Everyone's gotten caught doing way, way too fast in a construction zone. So that is not a big deal. The missing of the court date is not the best thing. In the world, that he should have an active bench warrant. I've had friends who have missed a court date, whether they didn't know or purposely, and that's a bench warrant. That can get you arrested.
That's what I was thinking the other day when I was reading an article about this situation. Is when you don't show up, that's a like failure to appear. Or
yeah, that's
something.
An instant bench warrant. I mean, police are supposed to arrest you on the spot. If they see you, if they come in contact with you. Of course, it's in Bowling Green, Warren County. So I don't, you know, plus he's a U of L basketball player. I think probably that police department down there doesn't want to be accused of being overzealous driving all the way up to Louisville. I mean, it's not like they don't know where Kevin Ware is going to be. He's got practice every day. And then he's got scheduled games that are public knowledge. You know where he's going to be at within the next week. They could go get him, but it's not that big of a deal. Here's what's crazy to me. I don't even know this borrowing of the car thing, whether or not this kid is an agent or a best friend. I don't know. I don't know the kid. I don't know his relationship. I'm not going to go there. What's insane to me is how quickly Louisville opened and shut the case, number one. And number two, how lackadaisical Rick Pitino acted on a failure to appear. I mean, Rick Pitino's had his own legal struggles here. A failure to appear is not some knock-it-off matter, okay? What really annoys me is just the arrogance out of this University of Louisville Athletic Department. It's complete arrogance top to bottom. In the football program, Clint Hurd is probably the only guy who can get a show cause penalty and remain employed. I mean, that's insane. Kevin Ware, Shane Bohannon, both at one. I mean, Kevin Ware last year was suspended from the team. Whether you believe he was suspended over the summer again or not, he was at least he's been under previous behavior problems with the team, and now he has this, which becomes now and it's just brushed off by U of L. Let's not even forget that there was a lacrosse coach or a field hockey coach the Courier-Journal wrote about that, you know, apparently terrorizes her players. Nothing there. No suspension. Nothing at all. Well, I mean, what in the world is going on that Tom Jurich died and became God Almighty in my mind?
I was just going to ask you, you doubt the integrity of Tom Jurich?
I mean, listen, I mean, this guy... Who does he have pictures of? That's what I want to ask. Who does he have naked, unflattering pictures of? He's got to have it over somebody, because you have these three events in a row at any other university. Any other university at all, and the NCAA will be so far up your behind. I mean, it's just unreal.
He's Tom Jurich, damn it. He's having his I'm Tom Jurich moment, and he's been having it now for the last couple years. You know, you can't say the name Tom Jurich without including the words best athletic director in the country in the sentence. And you know, I totally agree with you. The smugness of Rick Pitino's comments to the media regarding Kevin Ware's legal situation. I mean, these guys, you know, first of all, if you're Kevin Ware, you got to realize the spotlight's on you. You're not just a regular student. You're representing the school, you know, much more than just a non-athlete at University of Louisville. You have to realize that this is going to get some bad press. So, yeah, I mean, make your court date. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You're going to go in and they're going to ask you to pay a fine and it's going to be over. I mean, it just shows some serious lack of responsibility and maybe a sense of entitlement by this kid. But, yeah, Pitino's smugness, his laissez-faire attitude towards this whole situation just really shocked me. His quotes to the media about how he didn't care about this. It's not a basketball-related issue, so he didn't care. I mean, that was just – it just shocked me, really.
It doesn't shock me. I mean, the man has as he went through his own I'll just call them illegal issues. I think everyone knows what really happened. But, I mean, obviously he's not – morality from Rick Pitino, I mean, give me a break. The minute that man preaches anything moral to me, I will know that I have missed the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was not raptured because hell has descended on earth when Rick Pitino preaches morality. I mean, it's just unreal.
Well, I mean, if you recall when he was having his moral failures a few years ago, basically what he told all Louisville fans was to just quit reading the newspaper articles and quit watching the news regarding his situation. So I think he's probably just taking the same stance again. You know, if you see an article, you know, about Kevin Ware missing his court date, just don't read it.
Yeah, well, and you know,
just don't read it.
The real problem here is the ineptness of the NCAA. I mean, you have a university that has a major assistant head coach, associate head coach, which is what Clint Hurt was. He's on a show cause penalty. That's supposed to bring immense scrutiny to your school if you keep him on staff. And that's why most schools do not keep anyone who has a show cause penalty on staff. Second of all, allegations is made in the local newspaper about abuse from a Olympic sport coach.
Was that the woman that ended up being the Rutgers AD?
Well, it happened under her watch. That was one of the – of course, there was allegations about her at Tennessee as volleyball coach, and then she leaves Louisville.
Okay.
It caught up with her at Rutgers. This coach, apparently, this was a couple months ago, maybe even 6 weeks, the Courier does a Sunday story. Adam Himmelsback, I think is how you say his name, one of their new columnist reporters, wrote the story about how all these women's lacrosse or field hockey, the exact sport fails me, were basically quitting the team, how she was derogatory, made injured players do push-ups, blah, 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 and she's defended wholeheartedly. I mean, there's not even – come on now. Any respectable university puts that coach on a suspension. Now, does she come back when it's in time for the season or when important things happen? Of course. But, I mean, to open and shut the case, basically what the university did is they trotted out current players and they made them say, no, everything's fine. What current player is going to disagree with that? They are on scholarship. The university owns them, of course. They get former players to say the same thing. So you have a coach that has recruiting violations at a previous university. You have an AD, associate AD, who comes under fire. You have a coach who comes under fire for aggressive, uncalled-for tactics. And now you have a basketball team where players are getting indefinitely suspended and then back in 2 weeks when it really matters. You have players missing court dates. I mean, where the hell is the NCAA? That's what it really comes down to. Louisville's getting away with murder because they're in a conference that doesn't matter. Number one, I don't think the ACC will allow this to happen. I could be wrong. But they're in the American, which no one cares about. And two, the NCAA is so inept at anything now. I mean, they have no real standards. It's ridiculous. Louisville will eventually get theirs. I'm certain of it. They will eventually get theirs because you can't have all these incidents and something not happen. I mean, this is just unreal in the arrogance and the total lack of I guess institutional control. That's exactly what I'm going to call it. Lack of institutional control, because all this stuff happens, you're asleep at the wheel or you're allowing it to fester and happen, and I don't think you're a good executive if you allow all these problems to happen under your watch. At least you're not a very nice one. Now, I don't know. Maybe we'll get shut down in a week, Louisville.am, because we're going against the great Tom Jurich. Apologize to all the other shows if that happens. But honestly, this is insane. It is absolutely nuts. And something has to change about this. I mean, the speeding ticket, you don't even have to show up for court. I've had speeding tickets before. You don't have to go to your court date. You plead guilty and you go to traffic school. I mean, he doesn't even have to show up for court. He could have settled this already. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Kenny, you're right, and you are absolutely on fire, and I'm going to throw a little gasoline on that fire. Isn't the women's basketball coach buying everybody beer that shows up to the
game? Well, that's a typical,
like that.
Yeah, he did that the one game. That's Louisville. You know they don't show up for anything that doesn't have beer. I guarantee you. If I don't know what the ACC's policy is, but if the ACC has a policy where you can't sell alcohol, no one will show up to a Louisville football or basketball game. No one. Not anyone. He had to buy 2,500 beers or sodas. Yeah. They added sodas after they promoted beer so much, just to get people to come to a women's game at the Yum Center. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. This whole university, they sold beer at a spring game, for God's sakes. It's a practice. You sold beer at a practice to get people to show up. It's absolutely ridiculous. My contempt and hate for U of L has just reached a whole nother level. I mean, I hated them more than anything else, but it's gone to a whole new level. We've got to get off this topic before I just start cussing left and right, and then I'm going to be suspended from this radio show. Let's move on. Cal to the NBA. Those rumors came up today. Do you believe them?
70-30. I don't think it happens. I mean, anything can happen. It's basically a rumor that was started by one guy, and that's Ken Berger at CBS Sports. He's the one that's made this connection between Calipari and Creative Artists Agency, which represents Carmelo Anthony. I guess they also represent Worldwide West, and Calipari is also either represented directly by this agency or through his connection with Worldwide West. Anyway, this guy is connecting the dots, saying that because of this CAA, Creative Artists Agency, they're going to go after Cal at the end of this season because the Knicks are so intertwined with this this group that represents their players that it's just going to make sense somehow for the organization. And Worldwide West is going to be the guy that pulls all the strings to make this happen. Why he would want to go there, I don't know. The Knicks aren't going to be any good. I don't even watch the NBA, but from what I understand, the Knicks aren't any good. They're not going to be any good for the foreseeable future. They don't have a first-round draft pick in the upcoming draft because of the Carmelo Anthony trade or some trade they made. I don't even know who else is on their team. So it would be Calipari stepping into a situation, a horrible situation, as far as being able to win. Anyhow, I think he has more job security at Kentucky. He's bringing in the best players in the country. He has a chance to win a national championship almost every year. I don't know. I have a hard time believing it.
Yeah, here's the thing for me. I think Cal, every year these rumors pop up, and they pop up earlier and earlier, and they're warranted. I mean, Cal is one of the best coaches in the college ranks, and he's been to the NBA before. Here's why I don't think Cal would necessarily be a good pro coach. Right now, he's got total control over his program, and I don't say Cal's a control freak at all. I don't think he is at all, but I think he likes some sort of a controlled chaos, knowing what's going on. Mm-hmm. In the pros, you can't – I mean, these guys, your players are making more than you are, and by and large, they don't respect you. They don't respect a lot. I mean, some of these guys, they make more than you. They don't think you can play. They don't care. And so it really comes down to what you have on the court. You have to have someone like Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Kobe, basically who does things on the courts on their own. I mean, you can't manage these guys. Cal's not going to say – if Cal says what he says now in college, you know, Carmelo Anthony that he needs to hit the gym more. Carmelo's going to say, are you kidding me? You're going to have an Allen Iverson moment. Practice? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think Cal – and I think Cal realizes that. He's been to the NBA. He's tasted it. UK would pay him $8 million. If that's what the Knicks threw at him, too.
Oh, I agree.
He's not going to have a lot of personnel decision control, regardless of whether they give it to him or not, because, one, Isaiah Thomas is still involved in the Knicks in a quieter role, and, two, James Dolan is like Jerry Jones. I mean,
yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy. Whereas Cal runs – I mean, Cal can get away from the fans are the crazy ones right now where Cal's at. The fans are, not the administration, not his bosses, so to speak. At the Knicks, it's his bosses. Carmelo, I don't think, is locked in. I think he's a free agent either this year or next. The team might implode. But Cal's going to get those offers. And if you remember, last year the thing was as well, Cal's going to go to Miami. They're going to fire Eric Spoelstra, who came off an NBA championship. If he doesn't win another one, they're going to fire him. And LeBron or Cal are close in World Wide West again. You know, Cal may go to the NBA, but I don't see the Knicks or the CAA providing any sort of overarching thing. I mean, it's a connection. Cal's got a lot of connections in the NBA. He had the Thunder come a couple years ago. Does that mean he's going to go coach Kevin Durant? I don't think so, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like a big deal, too big of a deal to me, but I don't know.
I mean, what you said, you're right. And we've seen it in basketball and football. There's two kinds of coaches. There's the kind of person that coaches a college basketball or football team, and then there's the kind of person that coaches a pro team. And we saw it with Nick Saban. I mean, we could sit here and, you know, make out a list of guys who jumped from college to the pros that didn't make it, and there's some guys that did make it. But, yeah, I mean, I think if you're truly passionate about coaching, you're not – I mean, I would think you're more suited for the college game. That's where you teach. That's where you coach. That's where you have more control. I've never understood why guys, especially when it comes from college basketball to the NBA, I've never understood this whole concept of guys wanting to prove that they can coach on the NBA level. Because you're not coaching like you are in college. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, not being a coach, I'm missing out on something. But I would think that if you wanted to prove yourself as a coach, you would do it at the college level rather than the pro level, where you're kind of, you know, your success is kind of left up to the players that you get in the draft and free agency and, you know, trades and stuff like that. I mean, we've seen a lot of good coaches have, you know, be in bad situations in the pros, and I don't see the coaching as much as you're just kind of managing a bunch of pieces and trying to put them together.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's it for this week, Chris. A couple programming notes. We're going to let this episode kind of simmer through Thanksgiving. I hope everyone listening has a great Thanksgiving and enjoys the time with their family. And then we're going to kind of move things. We've been a later in the week show. I think we're going to move things to earlier in the week. So if you're used to listening to us on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you can start listening to us on, I believe, Monday or Tuesdays, a little bit earlier in the week. We're going to move a little bit since basketball season's in full swing now, and you've got the Saturday, Tuesday schedule and everything else. We're just going to move earlier in the week. So. Chris, once again, thank you for joining me, and I think we'll end this as we always do. Go Cats!
Go Cats!